March 18th, meeting of the Water and Wastewater Commission. I'll now call the meeting to order. FATV is conducting an audio and video recording of the meeting. If anybody has their phones, please put them on silent. And let's see. We have sent out the minutes for the February 18th, the November 19th, and October 15th meetings. Has everybody had a chance to see these? Is any corrections, additions? If not, I'll accept the motion to approve all three.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. There is no public forum this evening. I don't see anybody here to speak to us. So at this point, we'll start with the water. And John DeLine, you're still going to give that report?
Yeah, for now. So I did hand out both water and wastewater budgets. Mark can speak to the wastewater one. He did most of the preparation, or 99% of it. the water one, we're just going to present it tonight, and then next time we'll go over in detail, just so you guys have a few weeks to kind of, you know, go through the whole thing. So I don't want you to think you're rushed with it at all. So, and if there's any questions in the meantime about anything you need clarification on the budget, don't hesitate to reach out, email, or call. So I'd be happy to answer any questions. So pretty consistent with what we had projected for this year. We are seeing a little bit of price pressures in health insurance, which is translating to higher contributions to the reimbursements to the city, which I think every business in the country and municipality and government is seeing the same thing with a higher health insurance costs. Electrical costs were up a bit this year as well. Otherwise, you know, there are some pricing pressures due to tariffs, you know, materials being higher and things like that, but nothing that's really moved anything significantly within our budget at all. So we do have a 5% increase, which was approved a couple years ago. As of June 1st, it'll go out with the billing in July, and we have one more 5% next year. That's the end of that cycle as far as what rate increases were approved. So with that, we're able to put a little bit more into capital this year, despite having to move some money over toward the reimbursements to the city. One thing that was down quite a bit was Wachusett Mountain, probably about almost half of what it was last year, because they didn't need as much snow for water for snowmaking. So typically their cycles are that, you know, they make snow in December, you know, around beginning around Thanksgiving, maybe a little earlier, and then it melts. Well, guess what? It didn't melt. So so we kind of got an anomaly there with a drop of about 30,000 compared to past years. So it was a dry fall last year, so we've seen a pretty good spike in revenues in the water rate side. However, that's kind of camouflaged by the fact that the liens, liens weren't put in place last year, but they have been this year. And what happened is the city sent out lien letters letting people know their real estate was going to be liened with unpaid water and sewer bills up to July 1st of this 25. So a lot of people paid ahead of time. So we have revenue line items for liens, and we have the water rate. So a lot of that revenue ended up going into the water rate liens and wastewater too. So kind of, like I said, it kind of hides things a little bit. So we've kind of like deciphered down through, because we don't want to project too much for next year either, even though there is a increase. So we've, you know, I've been conservative, and I think Mark has too, but conservative with what the projections are, you know, because we know that we had a dry fall, which pushed things up, which is good, helps us, you know, and probably more will go back into retained earnings this year because of that, and also the increase due to the liens going into water rates, because they paid before they actually got lien on their real estate bills. So but otherwise, I know that the city did its best with all union contracts. The local 170 was just approved, but there's a $1,000 increase in the stipends for them, but there's no COLAs or anything like that. So, I mean, it was really controlled the cost and labor across the board. So People do still get their, you know, scheduled step increases every, you know, which they would get every couple of years, but otherwise, there's no significant increases anyplace in salaries or things like that. Again, like I said, the only cost labor-wise that really has gone up is in, you know, healthcare and health insurance, so. I think that pretty much covers it all, so I, like I said, I'll give you time to review it before the next meeting. We can go through it in steps, and again, you know, don't hesitate to reach out if there's any questions. You need clarification on anything within the budget. I'll be happy to answer those questions. So if there's any questions now, I'd be happy to answer as well, so.
Any questions for John? Okay.
Should we save budget review questions for next month?
Yeah, we'll go through them in detail, line by line, pretty much. Okay. So, but I want you to have plenty of time to review it, so that's why I figured we'd get to it this time. We only just met with the mayor a couple weeks ago, and we had to, you know, do a little, you know, sharpen our pencil in some areas and make some adjustments and stuff. So, so we just, like I said, we want to give you plenty of time to review it so you're not rushed. So, I don't even think we need a vote till the probably the May meeting. What do you think, Nick? Or?
Yeah, I think that's usually when we vote on it, is in May.
So, you know, so I'll give you plenty of time compared to past years. You know, last year we tried to get ahead, and I know the year before, because of the rate study and how the schedule was, it was kind of rushed through, and we don't want to do that to you. We want you to be able to be comfortable with it and be able to look at it all, you know, through there, so. All right.
Yeah, and we'll have to see what direction we get from the mayor and the finance team too, because usually they digest everything that we present to them for a few weeks. Then they come back to us and say, you know, reduced by X amount, X percentage, you know, so on and so forth. So we're waiting for those instructions. Then there'll be another round of review on our part before the final budgets become presented to City Council and you folks and whatnot.
Yeah. And we'll make you aware of any changes that happen, if there's anything by the next meeting or whatever, if there's a significant change. I don't anticipate anything. We've talked to the auditor about getting the breakdown of those costs to the city, the reimbursements. There's a whole formula and a spreadsheet, so she will get that to us just and refine those numbers. Like I said, there's a 10% increase. Last year it was a 3%. This year it's 10. Thought it should be a little bit more last year than what they had put in there, so that's why it's a little higher this year, but that's like the worst case scenario. If anything, it would maybe go down a little bit, but don't hold me to that either, so, you know, but that's what we've been told, so just to make sure that we have enough in there and to allow for it, so.
Well, thanks for giving us an early look at it. Appreciate it.
What's that?
Thanks for giving us an early look at it.
Yeah, I know. You know, we did that last year, and we wanted to do it again this year, so there's plenty of time, and, you know. All right. Any other questions on the budget part?
I think we're good.
We did do a run through the wastewater rate study, and we'll probably make a presentation after the summer break, you know, so in September sometime. So there may be some increases for next year, more than what we had expected, just because of inflation, and, you know, it depends on what happens. What we really want to see is how the revenues come through this fiscal year, because we are seeing a bit increase in water. Wastewater may see a little bit less because of loss of something like grief that has to be, you know, needs to be accounted for. So but, you know, we really sharpened our budgets. I mean, I sharpened our pencil this year looking through budgets and stuff and just making sure that, you know, everything was properly budgeted, nothing excess at all, you know, which we do every year. But we didn't want to, you know, we want to put off any type of rate increases in the future. So, you know, we have uncertainty with the war that's going on. That's caused some issues. We've already been notified about chemical, you know, availability and cost and stuff. The consortium bids that both water and wastewater belong to, the bids come in tomorrow, I believe, so we'll have a better idea then. So I'm hoping that, you know, this uncertainty doesn't affect anything there. So, like I said, electrical costs are already up, but hopefully our chemical costs aren't impacted too much. I'm just worried that, you know, the uncertainty with what's going on in the world, that they may project things a little bit higher with their bids, you know, just to cover that. So, but it's only a one-year contractor for those chemicals, so we'll see what happens. They don't have to forecast out too far as pricing. So like I said, we'll have, after the summer break, where our plan is to bring it, that rate study, before the commission, and, you know, we'll have a better idea with the revenues that come in this year, see how the numbers, you know, pan out, you know, and put those into the model And also see what we end up having with retained earnings at the end of the year. The retained earnings this year got certified late. We can provide those to the next meeting. We do have those figures. Next year, we don't anticipate them as late in the year. There's just a delay with some stuff with auditing and, which Jackie, said there would be. So we'll have a better idea with all of that. I don't think there was any unexpected with our certified, the retained earnings that were certified for us. Waters went up, wastewater went up a bit too. So there wasn't a significant drop and, we have okay amounts in there. So we can get those to you too for the next meeting. I don't remember mine off the top of my head. It's like 1.3 million.
Well, 7.6 million, I think we had retained earnings. Yeah, well, 7.9.
Yeah.
I think it was 7.9.
So. Nothing unexpected with any of that. So Courtney, our business manager, is pretty good at projecting that at the end of the year before they even get certified. This is what you'll have within a certain amount. So any questions on the water wastewater rate study? Main Street Water Main Replacement Project. They're going to start next week on temporary, basically starting from like Mill Street at Main, in that area, all the way down to Moran Square. They're going to put temp in for the whole project. Just get it all done. They have a company come up from New Jersey that does all that. So, and they fuse all the pipes. So they're going to be working on that beginning Monday. You probably won't see too much activity in the streets right away. They do a lot of the pipe fusing in the yard for what they need. So it probably take a week or two for them to really get going, but it'll take a couple weeks anyways for them to get that all in place before they can start excavating for the new mains. So we are going to have an information session for the business owners and residents of downtown. We're having another meeting coming up next week just to, amongst the city personnel, just to figure out when we're going to do that and what we're going to present. So we'll let you know when that happens. All right. But that's the last bit, is to get down the Moran Square, and everything's going to be new as far as water within Main Street. So when it's paved, and we don't have to worry about going and dig it up and have something like happen in Boston last night.
Oh yeah.
You got a question?
Yes. Thank you. So just to understand the projects for Main Street, you're going to finish the water to Moran Square this year?
Yep. Yeah, it should be done. It won't take the whole construction season. They're expecting to sometime in August, so.
And then do we have to do the sewer?
Yeah, separation, the project that's going on now is gonna go around the upper common area and finish up that whole area.
Yeah, GVC, who's the contractor we have on board now for combined sewer separation, is working in the Elm Street area. After that, they'll move down towards the upper common, Circle Street, Wood Place, and eventually down towards the GE plant. There'll be an outfall installed to the right of the building if you're facing it from Boulder Drive. And then we're also going out to bid with the next combined sewer separation project for downtown, and that'll be further east, basically picking up where GBC leaves off and moving east down towards roughly Blossom Street.
I meant to bring copies of that map and I forgot. So I'll email it out that shows all the projects that are going on downtown and what areas they're in. So, because there's a lot.
Good time to resurface Main Street?
Not until that next separation project's done, because that's going to come down and, part of it's going to go here, but then the next one that's going out to bid that's going to take a couple of years to finish is going to be work on Main Street as well. So
it'd be 2028, 2029.
Yeah, I'd say 2028. Aggressively, in 2029 is probably a more conservative.
We have to wait for the water street.
This condition for 3 years?
It'll be in an improved condition once all the trench patching happens. It'll be a little better than what it is right now.
Okay.
But it won't get the full repave until everything's done in 2028, 2029.
But we'll be able to improve it a bit?
Yeah.
Yep. Sidewalks, the street.
Yeah, there's some rough areas that settled out poorly over the past several months.
Yeah.
So as Polito's finishing up some of their work, we'll have them touch up some of those trenches. And then likewise, once GVC gets in there, does their work, the trenches settle out, we'll have them touch up their trenches before they're fully demobilized, so we can at least have slightly better condition between now and 2028 when we can do the whole road.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll send out that overview of the map. I apologize, I meant to bring in two copies of that. Weston Sampson put together, it just shows all the projects, you know, the separation projects around the downtown area, the bridge projects, the rail trail project. I mean, there's just an awful lot. Just all happened in the next couple of years, you know, it's not, there's no way to gloss over it. It just, it's going to be disruptive. It absolutely is, you know, so, just, but everything will be new, so.
I think as long as we try to communicate, you know, because I talk to a lot of people, or they talk to me, because they see these meetings and they ask a lot of questions. So it's just good to be able to provide some feedback with, you know, a good thing, and maybe we should reiterate it, is I know about 6 months ago you spoke at the meeting about how many roads that are getting redone as a result of your creative process when you do have Unitil, water, and the sewer all done. Mm-hmm. I think it's good for people to understand how many roads that will get a full curb-to-curb pave as a result of you guys combining ideas, you know? I know I was surprised at how many roads will get redone, and I think people just need to know that, because, you know, it's the talk of the town is our roads, right?
Yeah. We could ask Weston and Sampson to put together a map that shows exactly which roads will be paved as part each of these projects.
Yeah.
You know, Main Street obviously has to wait and kind of till the end, but with the combined sewer separation work, as each of these projects are nearing the end, they'll each get pavement, similar to the CSO 10 project up in your neighborhood. You know, we paved a handful of streets as part of that project, so we want to keep doing that. So we could put together a map that shows all of them in the approximate years, and that might be helpful to communicate that to the public.
Agreed. And I don't know if it's helpful, but Boulder Drive is a great detour, mm-hmm. right? But it's destroyed now under the bridge.
And that's only going to get worse, unfortunately.
that actually wasn't paved for that section. We omitted the section where the bridge we knew would impact the roadway. So we stopped short of that. Same with a couple of the travel lanes out there. That we left sections where we knew we were going to be digging up for the combined sewer separation work.
They just have to keep, I mean, they've had to relocate two mains a couple times and two water mains, and now they're doing a sewer work through there. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, just they patch it, tear it up, patch it, tear it up, patch it. Just, that's part of the sequence of that project.
Okay.
Only certain things can be done at certain times. They couldn't do it all at once and pave it. They got to do it in a sequence to get things out of the way and make room for, you know, whether it's Verizon or us or, you know, wastewater, sewer, you know, it's a complicated sequence of things. But at the same time, it's just tough because they keep tearing it up over and over. So there's no sense in, you know, getting, I mean, they need to make it easy, passable, of course, but it just makes it tough. So, and like you said, it has gotten destroyed under there, so, which we knew it would happen with that project. So,
yeah. Thanks.
And they're really just getting going on it, so.
And once everything's all said and done, Boulder Drive will actually be shifted south a little bit to accommodate the new abutment for that bridge. So right now what you're seeing is, like John said, each of those utilities getting in there one after another and moving their stuff out of the way.
That's all I've been working on since last summer, since they, you know, just relocating things and figuring out and then finding out stuff doesn't fit where they thought it was going to fit, because they found the, you know, conditions or the elevations were different than, you know, because they couldn't, like, spot check every little thing down there before they did design. So it's been difficult. So,
well, thanks for the update.
Yeah. Any other questions on that? So, we'll get those maps out there and we can see if Weston Sampson can put together that for the roads that we paved. I think they did portion of it, so it wouldn't be too much work for them to, you know, do everything what, you know, is going to be done.
Yeah. I think they're just going to put all the maps on the same page.
I think they did CSO 10, didn't they? I mean,
yeah, I think they've done CSO, the CSS work.
Yeah.
If we could have them add in the water main work, that'll help.
Next project is the next thing I have on my list is the Mare Meadow pump station rehabilitation project. We were at a standstill for almost 2 months now, because, National Grid would not schedule a transformer upgrade until an easement was recorded. So they had to get us the language. There was issues with finding the actual deed for the property because it was bought back a number of years ago. And when Mare Meadow Dam was built, the road was relocated and the electrical service was already through that road. So there's like an old road there that the electrical line comes through that was formerly in the road, a public way, but then that was abandoned for relocation of the road. So then when National Grid came out to look at everything, they're like, hey, you know, we need an easement across your property, even though they had it in a public way before. So we got that approved at City Council last week. The mayor signed it, mailed it out the next day, and actually got recorded at the Registry of Deeds yesterday. So now we can schedule, get National Grid to do work as far as scheduling the transformer upgrade, but that's about 8 weeks off. Having said that, we're going to go ahead at the beginning of April and start the rehab of the pump station. And hopefully we don't need the water from that reservoir. You typically start needing it at the middle of May. We just can't put off the pump station project anymore because we really need to get it done before the summer months just because of where we're at. We will have a generator connection there regardless, so we might have to rent the generator to pump water if it comes to that. Having said that, we also did some upgrades at our Marshall regulating station where we can pump from the low system, which is fed by the plant up on Ringe Road, so that can pump some water into the high system, help supplement that, which is, you know, two-thirds of the city and fed by the regional plant. So so we're able to get those upgrades done so that we might be able to supplement some of the high system flows and not put so much demand on the regional plant. So it was it's truly a juggling act. And I think we got everything covered, but we would have liked to have been done by now, but instead that came up. And like I said, it was a pretty big delay because of that easement not being there. So, and they won't schedule anything until that easement's in their hands and recorded at the Registry of Deeds. So it's like, yeah, we're not doing that till, you know. So that's just the way the electrical utilities are. So, but we're excited about getting that pump station done. It's all the original pumps from the, you know, the 50s and 60s. So that's going to be a huge improvement over, and it should save on electricity too because the pumps will be more efficient. And they have variable frequency drive, so we can, you know, pump at different rates versus just on and off as it is now. So any questions on that?
Questions?
Next one is the Route 2 water main transmission crossing. I think I described it before at Narrows Road when they built that interchange and exits. The state MassDOT filled over the two transmission mains coming from Westminster, two 24-inch mains, and they're over 20 feet deep there. So as far as a repair on any of those that, you know, under one of their lanes or wherever is almost impossible, you know. So we asked MassDOT for assistance with, you know, replacing them or lining them or whatever, and they said they wouldn't provide any money. And also told us that the only thing we could do is some type of, you know, either drill under or, you know, nothing that involved excavating. So trenchless technology, you know, so we wouldn't disrupt anything on Route 2 in either west or eastbound directions. So to drill under there with two 24-inch mains, the mains, they follow a stream that's there. That's how they were laid. So there's some potential aligning them, but it's not as easy as something that was, if it was straight. Like I said, they were laid to follow that stream, and when there was no highway there whatsoever, that's when they were installed. There was nothing there, those woods, and it just followed the stream bed as they did in those days. But more than likely, they'd have to bore under, and it's a $5 million project at least. So,
what does that main provide?
Provides all the water to the city from the regional plant. So if one of those, we might be all right with one down, you know, for some length of time, but it would probably cause some issues with water supply to the city. So it would definitely be an issue. So so we've been looking at, you know, trying to do it, you know, but it's a huge expense, you know, for something like that. That's, you know, any place that would be, you know, a lot less money, you know, a quarter of that if we could excavate through there. So they suggested we try MassWorks, you know, through the state grant there. We were told we were, you know, rejected on that application because it it was just, they consider like repair or maintenance of the system. You know, if it was extending two mains to a new housing project, they would probably approve it, but it's not, you know. Even though those mains are critical to the city's economy, you know, needless to say their residents too, but the economy, Great Wolf, everything, so, but, so we had no luck there. So we're trying an earmark through, what's her off?
It's Lori Trahan's office.
Yes. So we're trying on that now, just seeing, you know, if we can get some money through there, so. But it's something we're still planning on, you know, trying to get plans together and working with Weston Sampson to figure out the best way of doing it. You know, and the best way is the cheapest way, you know, just trying to get it done. But it's just something that needs to be undertaken at some point because we just can't wait till they break, you know, or one breaks, you know. We just won't get enough water through one main to the city. What you'd see is like pressures drop across the whole city at certain times during the day when there's high demand. So, and we can't supplement everything with the Fallula plant all summer long or, you know, through a whole year, just not enough water in that watershed. So, so it's one of the higher priority projects. So, but I just wanted to let you know that we tried, you know, funding and just, there's just no help whatsoever out there despite our best efforts. So maybe Trahan's office can find some money, but they didn't seem too hopeful. So
I think there's another opportunity through Ed Markey's office also, so we'll explore that and then just keep trying different grant programs that might work.
Are the lines failing?
I just feel like we should have some help. The city should have some help because it's not our fault that, you know, we were there first, you know, and then everything was built over us with no regard to what it would cost us to make a repair. So I just feel like we should, the city should get some assistance. I mean, that's just my feeling. So, you know, it's not any fault of ours, really, the city's.
Are they failing?
We've had a couple leaks on them. That's what kind of instituted the last, you know, kind of instigated this in the last couple of years. We've had some joints fail on a couple sections beyond on the Westminster side of Route 2. So that's our concern. You know, we didn't have a catastrophic blowout or anything like that. But, you know, it's something we need to, that should be done in probably the next 10 years or, you know, 15 at the most, but something that really needs to be done. So. And that's not, you know, 24-inch mains drilling that far under Route 2 is not, you know, something just any directional boring company could do. There's only certain ones that can do it as, you know, maybe one in New England, you know, some down south, maybe one in New Jersey. There's only a few companies on the East Coast that do anything like that. Of course, for them to mobilize up here and do something like that, it's not cheap, you know.
Where do they pass?
Right at the Narrows Road interchange.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, just east of there. So, like I said, they built those exits and built up the road so much that, you know, our mains are below them. So, you know, we've done leak detection on them. We haven't, you know, detected anything with the technology we have. So, we'll do that every year just to try to get ahead of anything that might pop up, you know, rather than wait till it surfaces. So, there's ways to, you know, to actually do leak detection on those mains. So, but problem is like they're cast iron mains with lead joints, you know, and usually those are pretty good, you know, for the most part. But one of them has what they call leadite joints, which was supposed to be an improvement over lead. But in fact, it kind of, as it ages, it kind of expands and pushes out. So there's a lifetime to it, even though it was installed in the 50s. So if it had been installed in the 60s, it would have been ductile iron. It would be a lot better, but, you know, they're still using that then. So, but fortunately, there's less pressure on those mains than there had been. When the regional plant was built in Westminster, the pressures were reduced coming down in the city and stuff. So that's helped a bit on that whole, those transmission mains up there, so they're not subject to it as much pressure. So any other questions or
questions?
All right, and the last item I have is just the last drought advisory that the state issued was a little over a week ago. The central region, the northeast region, basically that whole section of the state is in a critical level three drought. So right now, we're supposed to ban all non-essential outdoor water use. Of course, nobody's using it, so we're not going to go to that thing. Plus, people probably think we're crazy when we ban stuff, given the weather we've had. But I'm hoping with the rain we had that'll help a bit, and maybe we'll get some more this weekend. But there just wasn't enough snow to recharge everything, despite all the snow that we got. So there was about 2.5 inches, they figured, in this area of water equivalent in the snow. So that just wasn't enough to, it helps. I'm glad we had that, but it's definitely dry out there. So despite, you know, what we've had. So let's hope we continue to get some rain, you know, have a more normal spring. We don't want anything flooded, but we'd like to have some regular precipitation. I know even if it's of last week, a couple of our reservoirs weren't full. You know, I think they're getting reservoir measurements tomorrow. Probably they have filled. But, you know, even with all that snow melt, they hadn't all filled, which was, you know, the common person would think they're all full because of all that snow we had, but they weren't. So, and like I said, that all just, a lot of it went in the ground. It didn't, you know, enter streams and, you know, enter the reservoirs through that away. So any questions? So they'll have another meeting at the beginning of April, the state's drought advisory committee. At that time, they will have to, you know, see what where we're at, and we may have to make sure that, you know, there is we'll have to announce that and stuff. So like I said, I think it's a little premature, even though we're supposed to right now, just because I don't think anybody's going to really be using too much water outside yet. So but having said that, we have a lot of water in Fitchburg for as far as residents, so not enough to sell to everybody, but we have enough that, you know, that we don't have to worry about running out for the most part. So all right,
you got questions for John? Thank you. So Mark, we still have you.
You still have me. Yep. Couple more months.
That was about wastewater.
Milking my brain.
I'm sorry?
So they're milking my brain.
Thankfully.
First thing I have is the budget. Like John says, it's a presentation of next year's budget. We can go over the fine details next month. I'll just give some of the highlights for you guys to look at and to keep note of. A lot of it is tentative. We don't have accurate figures on a lot of the stuff. Chemicals, like John says, they're coming out this week with new chemicals. So until we get the final numbers, this is going to be the tentative schedule. Not schedule, but budget. On the revenue, you can note that we did take a hit with industrial billing with the grief closing. They typically gave us almost $1 million a year of revenue, so they're out. And we'll see if somebody that goes in there can give us, make up the difference, but time will tell. So that's the revenue change. Not much has changed with the personnel expenses, just, you know, step increases if they had them. None of them have COLAs. Union that represents the wastewater treatment plant is the local 888. They're up for a contract renewal this year. I think their contract expires June 30th. So they haven't even entered negotiations yet, so we have no idea what that may go into next year. We did see a little drop with the overtime, and that's because of last year we had a lot of vacancies, and we filled those positions now. So we cut the overtime just a little. That may change because of retirements that are coming up. So we have to look at that a little bit further before we set it in stone for next year. Went up a little with the vacation personnel sick day buybacks, and that's due to the vacation buybacks for the retirees. Expenses, the chemicals, I used a base number of 3% just to go up for the figures for this. They could go down. They have done that in the past. So until we get the accurate cost per chemical, we don't have a good, accurate number. We do know what the usage has been. The usage has gone down. With the CSO projects, we have seen a reduction in our flow, you know, all flow-based, so less flow, less chemicals. We've seen that with the rain right now. You know, we've had a lot of snow melt in the runoff, and even though we've had bypass events, it's nowhere near what it used to be. So we have seen a great reduction in the flow due to the CSOs. We're hoping with the CSO 32, which is ongoing right now, and CSOs 45 and 83, which are coming up, I'll report on that in a little bit, those projects themselves will greatly reduce a lot of the infiltration we're seeing. And that's what we're hoping. So when those are done, we should see a great reduction in a lot of these items. Underneath architectural engineering on the budget, I actually broke down what that means. Usually we just report the line item. This year I have all the projects that are under that, so you can see exactly what architectural engineering is for. And it's basically it's for all the projects, all the studies that we have ongoing for, you know, the CSO work or any consent decree required stuff that they want of us. So those are underneath the architectural engineering, broken down so you guys can see where the money goes. And just because it's the money's there doesn't mean we'll spend it all either. You know, sometimes they come in under budget. And when that happens, we just turn the money back over to retained earnings and it doesn't get spent. Page five, we have fringe benefits. Went up a little, but we don't have accurate numbers yet from the auditor's office. So we just went up a hair just for these numbers here. Maturing debt, I just used the numbers from last year. We don't have the accurate numbers there. And then we have capital expenditures. So we have that, and those are all due to the upcoming CSO projects. So next month, hopefully we'll have a better grasp on everything and we can go through line by line too. Any questions on the budget?
Any questions for Mark? Looks like we're good.
Good. An update on CSO projects. A lot of what I'm gonna say is a repeat of what I said last month. And it, basically a lot of it has been touched on already, you know, with Nick and John reporting on items. So with the CSO projects, we have CSO 10, which is the one that's just about done. That's the Upper North Main, Bond, and Arlington Street area. It's 90% completed. We're in the closeout phase. After this, it's punch list items and monitoring to see how well that project did. CSO 32, it was on hiatus for the winter months. That's gonna be back into gear next Monday. On March 23rd, they plan on remobilizing and getting back out there. So they'll begin on Essex and Marshall Street area and go full bore. And they may be hitting the Upper Common area by May, they're looking at. So next month we'll have a better idea on where they'll be. And we'll give people an update to prepare them, because once they hit that area, it's gonna cause a traffic mess. CSO 45 and 83, the next big project that's coming. The design work has been completed. We are scheduled to go out to bid this spring. So come next month, we're hoping the bids go out, and then we pray that the bids are coming back reasonable and something that's under what we estimated. So we're hopeful, and then that should start by the end of this year. And that'll go on for 2 years after that. And the last one I have is CSO 4. That's the Oak Hill, Exeter Street, Teresa Street, and all the side streets. I handed out a letter. This is what we sent to homeowners. And it's informing them that we're gonna be going around inspecting their homes, looking for illicit connections, looking for sump pumps or roof leaders that are going into the sewer system. So this is giving them a heads up. They can arrange things beforehand so that they can prepare for it. There's a map there. It shows where all the work's going to be done. So this would be the next project that we're going to start, probably next year, I think, it's going to start, yeah. With the way things have been going. So hopefully we find a lot of illicit connect, well, hopefully we don't find a lot of illicit connections. I hope people haven't done that. But if they have done it, we hope that we find them and get them removed, because all of this goes down to the treatment plant and causes problems and extra money for us to treat. So that's the CSO work. Any questions on any of them?
Any question of the CSOs?
Nope. And like last time, we have studies going on. So like I reported last time, the Franklin Depot Road capacity issues, very important. There's developers who want to start developing up in that area. So we found some issues. We're hoping that it gets resolved before they begin. The remaining connections to the West Plant from the former paper mills, we're hoping on that one. What they're looking for is they're going to identify potential sources of the flooding in the area, investigate and identify infiltration and in the INI to the westerly wastewater treatment facility in an attempt to reduce the flows and ultimately determine if the city may cease pumping out of that plant, which is what we're trying to do. We're also going to provide an interceptor evaluation, determine if the interceptor has the capacity for additional flow. So that'll benefit Westminster, who's looking to add some flow to us. And if we can find out if we can increase it, that would be very helpful. Also, if there's an anaerobic digestion facility that ever gets put into the West Fitchburg Wastewater Treatment Facility, that would need to be known. How much flow they're going to give us, even though we've taken out grief, we don't know how much this whole area can take. So that's what this study's about. Sewer rate study, John touched on, that's coming up. It's due to the increase in cost of the construction projects. It's inflation, plus it's, you know, when we start a project, we don't see everything that's under the ground. And so you start digging and going down, especially downtown. There's a lot of hidden stuff down there from the centuries of Fitchburg's development. Start digging and you find it. So things cost more. So we're going through the sewer rate study. The INI mitigation fee we talked about, it's on the removing INI 4-1 under the state mandate that flows exceeding 15,000 gallons a day. We're required to remove 4 gallons per day of every gallon they give us. So that's the study going on for that. We're looking to see what it would cost and also looking to see how our rates would compared to other facilities, I mean, other municipalities of like size of us too. So that study is still ongoing. The East Plant automation is still ongoing. And also the NEPTES adaptation plan is ongoing. All those who are East Plant automation, we talked about this a lot during the past months, looking to reduce the staffing levels at the plant. In order to do that, we have to automate a lot of it and improve the security at the plant too. If no one's going to be there, you want to make sure that no one can get access inside the building or the grounds. In the adaptation plan, that is required by our new NEPTES permit to see what climate change is going to do to the treatment plant if there's ever a catastrophic flood. So those are the studies that are presently ongoing. Any questions?
Questions?
Yes.
Just a quick question for next meeting. How much is a sewer connection fee?
I don't know. I'd have to find that out.
How much is a water connection fee?
$4,000 for a residential. And it goes up from there depending on the size, but
sewer connection, it's a $2,000 for a single family residential and then an extra $1,000 for each unit above and beyond that.
Okay.
I think there's different rates for commercial industrial, but I'm not sure of those off the top of my head.
Okay, thanks.
We're pretty competitive for the most part with those rates or whatever. So some are high, some are lower, but most are high, higher, so I would say.
Any other questions? Okay, looks good.
And the last one I have is staffing updates. We do have a vacancy. We have an operator because he got promoted or transferred into another position. So we can't fill his position until he's been in that position for 6 months and it works out, and then we can backfill him. So we have an operator. We have potential retirements coming up. Long-term people that's been there for 25-plus years. So we have a senior operator and an instrumentation technician who could potentially retire next year. And maybe one of the managers down there, too, might retire. So we have stuff coming up that's we'll have to look at, see how we're going to fill the vacancies.
Okay.
That's it.
Very good. Any other questions? Any other business? If not, the next meeting will be April 15th at 5 o'clock. And I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
We are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.